Hi, welcome back. This is Practical Performance Tips to Make Your JavaScript and HTML Faster. I am John David Dalton, and I will be your guide through Module 2. So Module 2 will be covering the tools to measure your performance and how to measure the performance of your JavaScript application or page. Or HTML application. This module is broken into two parts. First, covering various tools and collections of tools, and then the second one, how to use those tools and utilize the features of those tools. So the first section is the tools. I'll be covering IE-F12 tools. These developer tools are similar. You can find others in other browsers as well. It's a collection of tools to help work with the DOM, debug your JavaScript, inspect the networking requests, profile your performance, look at the responsiveness of your user interface, profile your memory, and also simulate other environments. So you can use the UA string or change the size of your page to mimic another device. And then we'll also cover the task manager, the good old task manager. So I mentioned before that F12 is a collection of dev tools. The first one of those is the DOM inspector, which allows you to edit your DOM. The next one is the console tab, which allows you to execute arbitrary JavaScript and query the page for inspecting functions, the global object, lots of things you can do there. The debugger tab. This is something you'll probably break into whenever you have an issue. So like if there's an alert that's thrown, or if there's an error that's thrown on the page, you can open into the debugger and inspect the issue or the variables around the error that is thrown. The next one is the networking tab. This gives you a nice view of the resources that are actually being loaded on the page and how long they're taking to load. Also, how long a response was from the server. Very nice for figuring out maybe you have too many images that are loading, or maybe you have an excessively large script that's loading, and you can see that in this tab. The UI responsiveness, this has got a lot going on in this tab, but it's a lot of awesome information. Here you can see things like your frame rate, you can see GC pauses, UI updates, rendering, formatting, all the things we had mentioned before that contribute to your page rendering, you can kind of see at a glance in this tab. The next is the memory profiler, and what this allows you to do, this is the the JavaScript profiler. This allows you to inspect and find that bottleneck in your JavaScript. So when you're running this, you can see where the large function, where the function that's taking the most time to execute is. And this helps you pinpoint that, so then you can focus your attention on that and move that into your workflow of refining the code, doing your performance test, and then measuring and profiling again to see if that's still your bottleneck after doing your performance adjustments. Then the next one is memory profiler. Whenever you're dealing with web applications, you may have a rogue DOM element on the page that's never being collected by the garbage collector, and so that can cause like a single page memory leak. And so using the memory profiler or the memory tab, you can pinpoint and identify functions that are holding on to DOM elements. You can also see all the other objects and elements that are in memory at that snapshot, which helps you identify memory issues. And then finally, there is the emulation tab, which allows you to use in IE, it allows you to set compat modes and document modes, so you can see what its page will look like under IE8 document mode. You can change the UA string if you're visiting a site that may be behind a UA, a wall, so something blocking it for a specific browser, you can flip on the UA string spoofing and masquerade as another browser. You can change the orientation or the resolution of the page, which is really the viewport of the page, and also simulate a geolocation, which is pretty advanced. But that is the summary, a high-level summary of the tools available in F12 tools. Next, I will show a demo of them and actually go into the deep dive of them. Okay. So here I have a popcorn demo, which is a test drive demo that I created. And now we're just going to use this as kind of the base for inspecting the DOM tools, let's see, or the F12 tools. So first you can see at the glance when I open up F12, I'm in the DOM Explorer, I can see the actual DOM elements of the page, and they respond in real time as well. So if I was to animate this page, you could see in the container, let's see if I can open that before it finishes updating. Aha, all of the popcorn kernels here. And I think maybe it had finished updating. It did, but I can update it again. And we can see that all these values are updating in real time. What's also nice is they're updating in real time, but you can also edit them and modify them in real time. So you can use this tool to make changes to your page without actually having to save the HTML or save the CSS. You can live edit the page and do quick tweaks to your CSS or HTML elements and see how it's going to actually look on the page. So for example, if I wanted to remove the pot on the page, I could just delete this element, and now the pot on the page is gone. It was there, and now it's gone. Let's go ahead and refresh that so I can get my pot back. And here, you can also do things like edit the CSS and styles. So I'll go ahead and pop a fresh batch of popcorn, and we'll get some more kernels.
Ah, what happened to the nice sound of popcorn?
I have muted it because every time I run the popcorn, it would make a popcorn popping sound. There's also touch here too, so that's kind of neat. But what I'll do now is highlight that you can right-click on an element and say inspect element. So in this case, I should be inspecting an individual popcorn kernel. Let's see if I can grab one and maybe see if that reflects. There it is. I've got the individual popcorn kernel here. And so with this, I'll go ahead and attach this to the page. I can do something like grab one and adjust its style. So I can make a popcorn kernel disappear on screen. That's me affecting its visibility. But I could also adjust its rotation, its X, Y coordinates, or its left and top coordinates on the page. So 200, which moves
really
it around.
Cool. So we could actually really adjust the CSS property to see the visual effect immediately.
Right, which is very handy for making quick edits on your page, so you don't have to sit there and reload your entire application.
Right.
Because right now this is a simple demo where I've already popped some popcorn, but you may be at various stages in your application, and refreshing your page isn't practical. So this allows you to do that without refreshing your page.
Very true.
The DOM inspector.
And you could even determine some of the objects are really, you know, not showing, not visible.
Right.
Then you could actually, by removing them, to save some resources there.
Right, yeah. You can inspect and see how complex your DOM hierarchy is in your page. The next tool I would like to cover is the console. And I'll go back to full screen here for that. The console, like I said before, allows you to The console allows you to go and edit arbitrary code. So I can do something like this, and it shows three. Let me go ahead and see if I can zoom into that. Let's see. Whoop. Aha. You can see there, I did one and two, and now I can help three. Now that is a basic example, but I can also query the DOM as well. So if I wanted to say, hey, give me query selector.
And it's really cool. It's actually almost like autocomplete.
Yeah, it's auto-completing for me.
Even though I don't remember some of the API, I could still do that.
Yeah, I'm going to right now. I'm just going to select all the DOM elements on the page, and so it's got a list of DOM elements here, and you can see there's quite a lot of divs that I am selecting. And if you want, I'll zoom in here.
Yeah,
you
make it a little larger.
Yeah.
So I could see it better.
So you can see that this is a bunch of HTML divs on the page. And let me go ahead and exit out of that. That is the console. The console also allows you to get information about the code that's executing as well. So here you'll see that there is two little info notices. Let's zoom in again. In the top left corner, there's info notices. But if there was an error, you'd see the error in the console as well. Or warnings, you'll see them in the console too. And that the error may allow you to then jump into the debugger, which is the next tab of F12 tools that I'll be covering.
Yeah, I absolutely like the errors showing up in the console, because sometimes even though you have IDE, you may not really see those errors. Or maybe they actually give you a different kind of error message. So really love that part.
The debugger allows you to inspect your JavaScript whenever there is an error thrown. You can configure that to break on unhandled exceptions, which is, I'll see if I can zoom in here. Ooh, that's going to be tricky with the UI here. But you can have it break on unhandled exceptions or break on all exceptions. And this allows you to inspect your code in real time. So let me go ahead and simulate that. Let's see. I'm going to go into Kettle. All right. I'm going to add a breakpoint here. And now when I run the code, it should jump back to this spot whenever the JavaScript execution hits that. So let's go ahead and run the demo. And so I am immediately brought back into the debugger tab because I have set a breakpoint there. And I should be able to inspect the variables and the current state of the application. And so here you can see that the value of depth is 2 at the moment. You can also see that the value of scale is 0.82. So this allows you to see what is actually happening in your code. And so if there was an error here, I'd be able to have a better idea of what's causing that error. And then you can also step through your function execution. So I can step into this, and I stepped into the block of code where it's now assigning scale a value. And then I'll hit the next line where I'm assigning the z-index on the element style. And then going through, so you can see line by line, I'm stepping through the execution of this function, but I can also step out of the function and go to the code that called that function. And so here I'm also able to inspect values as well, so I can see what the value of this is. In JavaScript, you're always trying to figure out what the value of this is. And so here this shows you that the value of this, in this case, is the kettle object. And then I can also see that there are no kettles here because the link or kernels currently active because the kernels is an empty array. So this lets you kind of walk through the execution and flow of your program and see the values in real time. So now I can pop out of that as well, so I can continue. Let's go back and first remove this, because every time, if I don't remove the breakpoint, every time the function hits that point, it's going to go back to the debugger and let me inspect what's happening. So now I'm going to resume. And the popcorn is now resuming popping. And we can go to the network tab. The network tab doesn't have a lot going on at the moment, but when I refresh the page, you should be able to see lots of things popping into the tab. So here we go. Now you can see every single resource on the page is showing up here, showing their the method used, the result, the type of file that is being requested and loaded, how much the file weighed in terms of file size, and how long it took to load an individual file. So here you can spot For example, maybe you're using a JavaScript library that isn't being minified and gzipped properly. You can see that the received bytes would be larger. So for example, if you've got like jQuery on your page or a couple of widgets and you're not minifying and gzipping those files, you could see that show up in this tab. You can also go into the timing view for individual assets on the page, so individual resources on the page. So
can
for example,
zoom a little bit, like.
Sure. Yeah, we can zoom.
I was going to ask, what are those different, like,
over here?
Color bars. Yeah.
Right.
Like to see, you know, exactly a little more detail. Yeah.
So all you have to do here is double click on the resource, and it zooms in substantially. Right.
You see a lot more detail.
And it also gives you a summary of each one. So when I click on this section here, you'll see it says the start section, the time from when the request was initially created to when the request is sent. Mm-hmm. And here too, it says, hey, the time to the first byte. And then over here to the right, you'll see a green bar, and that is the content loaded. So when a page loads, you'll have various points in its life cycle where you can have scripting be able to use your JavaScript and interact with the DOM. And at that point is DOM content loaded. So when DOM content is loaded, then you can use your JavaScript to interact with the DOM objects on the page. So you can say document.body.whatever, manipulate the page, and you'll be able to get a result. Before then, the page is still in flux, it's still loading, the element you're looking for may or may not exist. So DOM content loaded is when you can first start really consistently interacting with the page. And then at the end here, at the very end, the red bar is page load. So this is when after all the resources are loaded. So this is after all of the images and the CSS and the JavaScript, the page is fully loaded. Usually if your browser has a spinner to indicate that it's loading, that's when it would complete. So that's the mark way over there. So then we can step out of this view, the zoomed in view, and move on to the UI responsiveness tab. Now the UI responsiveness tab will give you a lot of information about your page, but just like the networking tab, you have to initiate profiling. So here I'm going to go ahead and do that. So I'll start, and then let's pop some popcorn. And let's pop a medium bag of popcorn. Okay. So while this pops, it should finish up, and I can then stop profiling. And now I'm presented with a lot of useful information.
Wow, this is really cool.
So let's zoom in a little bit. You can see in the beginning of the page, before I've started actually executing JavaScript, there's not a lot going on. There's everything else is. Okay, so let's back out a little bit. Am I going to do a light summary here?
Sure.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Light summary, not a deep dive
right
into this tool.
I think
not
to talk about it.
Okay. It's very tempted to dig into the individual components here, but you can see that there's great things here like frames per second. It dips down while the popcorn is popping. It shows you at a glance your script execution, your GC, the styling. It even has a nice breakdown of the summary here to show you what's actually happening on the page and how much of each section is contributing to the UI responsiveness and the load on that. And then also here, it breaks down every single callback and execution and kind of event for you. It also allows you to then zoom in zoom into various parts of it and inspect further. So you can keep getting down into very minute and tiny sections of the UI responsiveness tab. So there's that. Next is the script profiler. The script profiler is very handy for, like I said before, finding that bottleneck in your code. So again, I will start the profiler and then execute some JavaScript. And we will be able to see, let's do a small bag this time, see what function is spending, what function is taking the most time to execute. And let's see here. Okay. So here we have a list of functions, the number of times they're called, their inclusive and exclusive time, and also their location in the source code, which is really nice for seeing, oh, well, what is that function that's taking all the time? You can open up the source view and actually see that function. So for example, let's see.
Right, so this will be a good tool to actually determine any potential bottlenecks.
Right.
To see what is the most expensive methods there. Should I run that slow? Is it as expected?
So I can see inclusive and exclusive time and then sort them by the ones that take the most time. And so here we can see the on animation frame is taking a lot of time, but that's our main, that's in this case for the demo, that's the main heartbeat of the demo. That's the thing that is called to animate the page. And so of course that would be taking a lot of time. But then you can drill down into that and see, well, actually moving popcorn is also very expensive and contributes more to its own time. So there's that.
Sure.
The next is the memory profiler. And so this will allow me to see, as I mentioned before, a snapshot of all of the objects on the page. So here, it's got a nice, like, in real-time view of the memory, and I'll zoom in on that.
Cool. This is actually, it's really useful. We could determine what is the most expensive object. Does it supposed to take that much memory?
Right.
What is the memory allocation situation? Does that make sense to have all that? And then we're going to talk about a lot more in detail, like garbage collection and so on.
Right. And so here, just by opening up the profile, it should list all the objects that are currently in memory on the page. And what's also nice is it gives you a little hint and says, hey, if I zoom in to this, it says, hey, an object of this type remains not attached to the DOM. So that means, hey, I've got a DOM element that's not attached to the DOM, but I'm still holding on to it in memory. So if I didn't plan for that to happen in that group of code or those group of objects, then maybe that's the source of a memory leak. And so I could dig down further into that and see the objects.
Exactly. Here. Good tool to determine the memory leaks.
It helps you know that I have a reference to an element somewhere in here, so it helps me kind of pinpoint where I need to look. And then next is emulation. So emulation allows you to, and I'll zoom in again on this too, emulation allows you to set the document type mode. So for example, with this demo is made for IE9 and above that I have, so modern browsers. So if I was to simulate an IE8 compat mode, and then I look at my demo, it says, hey, you need to upgrade your browser. Now I'm not using IE8, I'm just setting the doc mode, so the compat mode of the page. And now my page and the JavaScript detection around that is kicking in and I can simulate that environment. So this is what an older browser would see. It would be prompted with a request to update their browser. And so you could actually test this. I used the compat tool in F12 when I was developing this demo to ensure that this was displayed properly. Because not only is it displaying the image, but it's trying to get that div on the page to be centered in the older browsers, and so I had to make sure that my CSS was also working, and so the compat mode allowed me to do that.
Exactly. This is one of the challenges for most of like web developers. Make sure the compatibility issue in the browsers with different version, with different kind of browsers. And then especially, we see the HTML5, CSS3, all the new features evolving. And a lot of times, we're just not quite sure if this feature was supported in that version of IE, for example. So this is a fantastic tool really to test to see if that feature is supported. And if it's not supported, then what could I do? Use some mimic tool, to handle that and things like that.
Right. And the last thing I'll show, just because it makes a difference on this demo, is the resolution tweaking. So here, I'll zoom in. You have a dropdown that you can select different sizes. So if I was to select, let's see, this size here, the page should be reflected. See how the page now is reduced. I can also shrink that a little bit more. And the demo is reduced as well. So you can kind of see that when the screen gets smaller, this demo here, the header and the footer of the demo end up taking a lot of space. So it's not ideal for a small device. It really needs, for this demo, it really needs the full screen.
Exactly.
But at least the dev tools can give me a heads up on that because it allowed me to adjust my viewport so I could actually see that I have a design issue for smaller devices.
Very true. Go back to, we talk about you need to understand what's your targeted device, right? This is exactly, you could use this tool to check what it will look like in that particular device, how it's going to perform, right? It's going to, the performance will be good or bad. So useful, very useful tool.
Okay. Oops. Let me get back to my slide. Okay, so now we'll be talking about, I gave you a summary of the tools. I kind of showed you in a real demo how to interact with them, some of the cool features of them. But now we'll look at the next tool, which is the old school task manager. So on Windows, the Control-Alt-Delete will pull up your task manager. So I will go ahead and show you that. Though, before I do, though, for those that aren't familiar, task manager allows you at a glance to see your CPU usage, the memory usage, and the Ethernet activity, so the network activity of various processes running on your system. In this case, we'll be focused on Internet Explorer or the browser of your choice, so you can see how much memory that browser is consuming. This is very handy, so for example, if you have a single page application, so if you're working with Backbone or Angular or your single page framework of choice, and when you refresh your page or whenever you load a new page, so the single page app means you're not having to refresh your page, but you notice that your memory is stair-stepping through each section. That means that you're probably holding on to a DOM element. So before, where I showed you the memory profiler, that would alert you of detached elements that you're holding on to. In this case, you can also see this as the memory profiler for this will start to stair-step. So now let me demo the actual a task manager on the Popcorn demo. And here, Control-Alt-Delete, task manager. There are other shortcuts to pull up the task manager, but I've been using Control-Alt-Delete forever, so I tend to continue to use that to pull up the task manager. So here, we have two processes. And when I execute JavaScript, you'll see one of them start to consume more CPU, and memory should also be affected. So let's go ahead and go to the profiler here. And let's execute a large bucket of popcorn. Okay. So you can see the CPU usage is increasing. The memory is also increasing. Let me go ahead and zoom in there. You can see 14% and 97 megabytes there on the Popcorn demo. Also, if I was wanting to look at the performance tab, I could see here if the memory is starting to stair step. So if I was to refresh, at the moment it's pretty stable, which is pretty good for this demo. I have a fixed set of kernels that are popping, but I could, for example, when I'm clearing the popcorn kernels out, maybe I forgot to remove some of those elements, and so the memory would start to grow every time I popped more popcorn. And so let's see if I've done my job here and cleared that out. So here, again, you can see the memory is pretty consistent, but the CPU may grow. So this is where you can go to kind of see the memory usage of your current browser. When you're having to decode images, later on we'll have some demos there that kind of reference the task manager. So this is just another tool to have handy for you when you're looking at the performance of your page.
So what is the adding value of this task manager compared to F12 tool?
Ah, good question. So if you noticed in F12, I had to indicate that I wanted to start profiling. And that means that it's having to instrument the page or the tools, the engine, and that instrumentation adds overhead. But the task manager is passive. It runs in the background. So it gives you that kind of uninstrumented view of the page. It's not going to drag down your JavaScript performance, or it's not going to have all these checks per execution. So it's a good, at a glance, passive way to measure your application without having to dig down into the actual code, or actually have to start doing the heavier duty profiling. So it's probably, if you think there's an issue, the task manager would be a good first line. Mm-hmm. You do that before you start doing the more invasive profiling.
Right. So. But F12 tool actually in general providing more in-depth,
yes.
more detail.
Right, yeah. Right. F12, when we go into the UI responsiveness, that's going to just blow your mind on that. It's so detailed. Okay. Next up. Wow, 1 second. Okay, I'm just trying to navigate back to my slide. Sorry for the dead air. Let's go ahead and get back to that.
So actually, we're going to get into how to measure them.
Right.
Is that right?
So before this, though, some other tools that you may be interested in are the Chrome Developer Tools, Firebug Lite. I included Firebug Lite because if you're testing in an older environment and you want something that resembles modern dev tools, mm-hmm. Firebug Lite is a good thing to include on the page. It's been around forever, but it's still something I reach for because I know it's going to work in the older environment. It gives me a console. It gives me a little DOM inspector, mm-hmm. Which is great for those environments where you just don't have the dev tool that you're looking for.
Right.
There's also Fiddler, which I can't speak too much, but I think you have some information there on that.
Yeah, so actually, if you already used this network profiling tool in F12, you get most of the information. However, Fiddler could be a little bit more specific. For example, I could have a production live site, and really I want to actually change something, but without interrupting that live site. I could actually really, you know, do some sort of like mimic some kind of request, and then I could see the response to see if it's good. If it's good, then I push it into the production live site. So there's some additional kind of capability you will be able to do in Fiddler. But most of the features you should be able to use in F12 network feature.
Cool. Then the next section that we'll have a demo on later, if there's time permits, is web page test. Web page test allows you to load a page and have snapshots of various points in the page load lifecycle, where it clocks them to say exactly how long something took to load. It also will give you tips on your compression, the caching headers of your page, the image compression, if you're using gzip properly. It will also allow you to have a waterfall view, so similar to like the network view in the F12 tools. It has a view that shows how long it took your resources to get to DOM content loaded, to page load, and the loading cycle of all of the resources. So it's another tool to have there. You can also do things like compare an A-B test for your site. So if you have two versions of your page that you're wanting to see how they load and how they compare to each other, you can do that with this tool too. And then finally, Windows Performance Toolkit. Windows Performance Toolkit is something that you can use to measure the performance of your application, so your Windows application, or in this case, it also has presets for Internet Explorer, so you can look at a more deep dive into the components of your page. So the rendering, the GC, the JavaScript engine that's executing, and the subcomponents of the JavaScript engine, and the subcomponents of the rendering engine. So it's it gives you a lot more detail than just even F12s can provide. Cool. So now we'll get into how to measure. In this section, we'll cover how to measure page responsiveness, so using the UI responsiveness tool, where I'll deep dive into that. How to measure JavaScript execution. So before I showed you kind of what the tab looked like, now I'll go into actually showing you how to pinpoint that problem function and tell you the difference between like what's inclusive time or exclusive time, and then when to use the appropriate tool. So back to our popcorn demo. I'll go ahead and reload it so it's fresh. So if you notice, when I'm executing JavaScript code, I can choose a small or medium or large popcorn, but if I do large, the performance won't be the same as the small popcorn. And you'll see that the frame rate starts to drop. It becomes a little bit slower. And that's because there's a lot of particles on the page. And so if this is your application or your game, maybe you've got a lot of bad guys on the screen or a lot of physics effects on your page. So maybe there's falling rocks or something on the page. In this case, it's popcorn. And each kernel has a collision detection and rotation that's happening. And so all of that takes processing power, takes your JavaScript execution. So now we can sit there and measure that and how it affects the responsiveness of the page. And there's also even touch events too. So lots of stuff going on the page. So let's measure the UI responsiveness of this. So we can see where the actual time is being spent for rendering. So here we go. Let's measure that. So now what's happening is while this page is executing, the UI responsiveness profiler is running in the background, collecting a lot of information. So now we can go back to the profiler, stop the profiler. Now it's churning and analyzing all of that data so it can display this awesome UI here for us. So the UI is broken into a couple of parts. I'll zoom in on them. The first section that I'll be looking at here is the CPU utilization and the visual throughput. So in this case, I'm dealing with animation. I'm dealing with popcorn kernels moving on the screen. And so frames per second, so FPS, is very important to me. I want something to try to achieve 60 frames per second. And you'll notice through the beginning of this section, it does hit 60 frames a second. But as I start popping the popcorn kernels, and as there's more popcorn kernels on the screen, it dips down. And so I can actually see visually the effect of all of those kernels. And then at the very end, when the popcorn settles, the frames per second goes right back up. So for example, if I was popping this, or if I was running the demo, and I was seeing a drag on frames per second that I wasn't expecting, I can then try adjusting the algorithm on the page. So now let's see what happens when I run this demo again, but execute just a fewer particles on the page. So now I'm popping less popcorn, so that's less particles. So less things for the popcorn to run into each other with, less physics on the calculating per particle.
Less resources will be used.
Right, and so I should see better frames per second. So let's see if it's accurate. And sure enough, in the dev tool, you can see it maintains a higher frame rate, dipping down to just below 30, and then back up to 60 in a much shorter time.
Not bad.
So in this case, if you're dealing with performance, you can know before we mentioned, it's a balancing act. And in this case, the more particles and the more physics applied to them on the page, the slower my performance is going. And so if you have a low resource device or a low-end device, you could think about maybe throttling the particles on the page. So in this case, popping less popcorn. But that's just one way to handle it, and that's just one view. There's also, you can dive into the individual parts of the page. And so I will highlight a subsection of what was measured. And so this allows you to do that with these two little handles on the top of the tool. And I'll zoom into that here. The two handles are these paddles at the top. Let's see, I can actually circle them for you. So let's see, here and here. It allows you to drag them left or right and then zoom in on a subsection of your measurement. And so I can go ahead and do that. Let's see. Now I'm going to zoom in to that subsection. So now it's taken the macro view and now zoomed in on that, just that individual piece. And as you can see, when we zoom in, there's a lot more detail. So I can see that a majority of the time being spent here is script execution. And then over here in this area here, sure enough, this pie chart or this UI chart over here, it says that 62% of the time is, I believe, script execution or timers. And by the timers is the request animation frame callback. And so that's where my script is being executed. I can zoom in on that too for you here and then show you the various points. Let's see. Control 2. Nope, not doing that. Okay. It's live. I would like to also point out that your browser has the ability, well, most browsers, in this case we're highlighting IE, has the ability to run things on a background thread. IE has had this ability since IE9. So for quite a while, it's been able to do things like do GC garbage collection on a background thread, or in later versions, do JIT on a background thread. So compiling the highly optimized code, JavaScript executing code, on a background thread. And the importance of a background thread means it's not on the UI thread. So it's not going to be the thing that's causing your UI to run sluggish or your frame rate to drop. And so by default, it's hiding the background activity, because for a UI responsiveness tool, you're really concerned about the UI thread. But it does allow you to view the activity on the background thread. So let's show that activity here. And you can see that now that I've checked the box over there, I can see garbage collection happening in the background. So even though the foreground garbage collection was minimal, you can still see that there is garbage collection occurring, but it's just happening on the background thread. So it's not contributing to the delay on your foreground. So I always think that's neat to be able to actually click on that item, and it shows you the thread ID number, which is kind of neat. And if you see a thread and it has a thread ID number, then it's a good indication that that is not the UI thread. If it was the UI thread, you would see something like UI thread over here in the summary. So that's kind of neat. You can view and zoom into that. But not only that, so I just covered some of like the script execution, but it also allows you to view individual paints and layout calculations on the page. So you can see if something is causing your page to do a lot of computation or a layout. So for example, if you're doing jQuery.hide, which hides the element on your page, that's causing a lot of layout and formatting to occur on your page, and that can affect the performance, especially if you're doing something like that while trying to scroll or trying to animate something on the page, you're going to notice it affect your UI responsiveness. So very neat. There's lots of things you can do to dig down into this. So I would encourage you to spend some time in this UI tool and kind of explore all the features. I won't have time to hit every single piece of them today. But very, very useful. Lots of information here. You can do all kinds of things, sorting by it. It's a very polished tool.
Right. We're going to use the UI responsiveness tool a lot in the rest of the course to do the demo.
The next one is the script profiler. So before I started measuring, this is an old profile, so it's kind of got that last time I profiled the information there. But let's go ahead and profile the JavaScript execution again to see where the time's being spent. So I'll click. Again, because this is a more instrumented approach, you have to tell the dev tool to start measuring your JavaScript performance. So right now I've told it to measure. And actually, I'm going to tell it to stop. Because I don't want to measure all the idle time. So I'm going to hit start and then start executing JavaScript so I have a good indication of what's taking most of my time. So here we go. And now I'm going to start popping some more popcorn. And after that's complete, I can go back here and stop profiling. And now this is a breakdown of all of the function calls that happened while I was profiling. And I can sort them based on the execution count. So whenever you're dealing with JavaScript execution and performance, there's a couple of things to ground that performance with context. And so if you have a function that is very slow but called very few times, it's maybe not as important as other functions that are called thousands or hundreds of thousands of times. And so just getting to know that a function is slow may not be the actual pain point for you in the application. So that's why they give you call count. So I can see that date.now is being called lots and lots of times. So, okay. And then there's also things like the inclusive or exclusive. So say you have a parent function that's calling child functions. The parent function will show up as being expensive when it's actually the child function that is the most expensive. And so that's why there's inclusive, so time including everything, or exclusive, meaning just that function.
Right.
And so there's a way for you to do that. And then also you can detect if it's a built-in function, a DOM function, or your user code. So if it's user code, that gives you the ability to modify and tweak right. your code more so than if it's a built-in or a DOM. A DOM one, you maybe just need to avoid calling it as much, mm-hmm. but you can't really change the internals of that.
Oh, it could be a third-party library. Then you want to think about it. Do I need that third-party library? Could I use some other library which is faster?
Or maybe you can patch it and then do a pull request to the mm-hmm. to the library, and then everyone wins, right? Because then everyone gets the speed boost. Next is the memory profiler, and I believe I kind of showed you that mm-hmm. Before, so I don't need to dig into that. But these tools with the UI responsiveness and the profiler are where you're going to find your visual, the problems visually that are causing your UI to drag, and then the problems with script execution that are causing your code to drag. I, being a JavaScript developer, where I focus primarily on JavaScript execution, I like to hang out in the JavaScript profiler because I can see exactly where my functions are being slow and what I need to refactor. And this helps you avoid the premature optimizations as well, because it allows you to see exactly where the time's being spent and where you need to focus your attention to optimizing and modifying the code. So cool, let's go back here. So in summary, I need to jump back down to my slide. Okay, so in summary, I covered various tools in F12, so the whole collection of tools there. I talked about the task manager. I also told you and explained how to measure appropriately, so when to use the UI responsiveness tool, how to use that, kind of the information it shows there, and also looked at the script profiler to see exactly where your slow functions are, or where the functions that are being called the most, or the functions that are taking the most time to execute are, and then also showed an overview of the good old task manager and the difference between passive profiling and invasive instrumented profiling too. So I believe that concludes this section, and we will see you after the break.
See you.